have been identified by Ms. Rimmer and which will be delivered through the conditions that will reduce the effects to some degree, but without giving a precise answer as to the amount. Given that this is a designation, why does that disqualify us from making an assessment of the effects on the environment? Why does that prevent us from doing that?
There are a number of points in your descriptions that I probably need to pick up on.
Mm.
The first is the idea that Ms. Rimmer has assessed the effects. And I certainly don't dispute that she states a view that the adverse effects will be significant.
Mm.
But I wish to start from the proposition that that doesn't give a very clear understanding of the extent of those effects. It certainly gives a general understanding, and it puts them into a certain range on the spectrum that would signify they're a matter that you should be concerned about.
Yeah.
The second part of that, of course, when we come to mitigation, I think I have a different understanding of Ms. Rimmer's evidence on that than the understanding you outlined, Commissioner. Because as I understand her evidence, she does say there is a possibility of mitigation. But as I've said in my written submissions, she actually says that one of the purposes of the investigation that's to occur at the second stage is to assess whether these effects can be mitigated. And when she puts it in that way, that's a very different proposition than saying, I am confident that it will happen and that there will be measures that will reduce these effects. It's putting it into a much more speculative space where she is saying, as a landscape architect, I'm aware of a range of techniques that might be available to mitigate effects such as these, and we'll look at those at detailed design to see whether any of them is available and any of them is successful. The third part of it that I think is actually missing from the evidence that you've had from Ms. Rimmer is the identification of what those techniques might be in relation to Peter and Dale's property. There is no statement that describes how she would see mitigation functioning for their remaining property. So you're not in the same situation, and perhaps I can draw a comparison with the stormwater evidence as filed for Kiwi Rail. One of the reasons that I don't say the same things about stormwater effects that I say about visual amenity and noise is because Kiwi Rail's stormwater expert goes a step further and says, here's a list of things that we can do to manage stormwater effects. And from this list, I am confident that we have enough space allowed to build in the mitigation that's necessary given the volume of water it will have to deal with. I say there's a difference between that level of approach and what Ms. Rimmer has done in the landscape assessment, and that's why you're left short, because you have effectively an assurance from her that is built on a foundation that you can't interrogate.
If you look at that rail hub, the remaining land, 61, sits on the corner above at the end of Maple Street. Do you see that, those blocks? You know where we are? Further towards Bunny Fork Junction, there is shown a bund, and we received quite detailed evidence about the treatment of that bunding and its management of visual and noise effects. Are you saying that what was missing for your client's property is a similarly in-depth assessment in relation to that boundary? Or are you saying that even her evidence in relation to the properties closer to the junction was insufficient.
I can't really speak about effects other than on Peter and Dale's property, but yeah. I am saying that the evidence was insufficient in relation to their particular property. And I think an inescapable outcome of the approach that Kiburel has taken, where final design is left for later, and where Ms. Rimmer says buildings, the location of buildings within the freight hub will be a key determinant of the degree of adverse effect, and we have buildings that are going to be potentially 14 and 16 metres high in places. Even if, for example, Ms. Rimmer had said there will be planting of a buffer of a certain depth, and it will consist of these kinds of plants that will grow to a certain height, and that this will mitigate adverse effects by softening the visual effect of the wall, because it won't be a bund next to Peter and Dale's property, it will be a wall. Mm. If she had said all those things, and she doesn't say those things, you're still left with the proposition that you don't know what will be visible of the freight hub beyond the wall. And there is a question of the relationship in topographical terms between the elevated property and the wall, which, as I understand it, will be located at a slightly lower elevation. So despite being hypothetically a three-metre high structure, it will only be something in the order of half a metre taller than viewing height, 1.5 metres at Peter and Dale's property. So you're in this difficult scenario where you don't actually know what they will see beyond the wall. And I don't think, given the approach that's been taken to assessment of visual effects, there is an answer available to you that you could have confidence in, because KiwiRail wants the flexibility to deal with locations of buildings, amongst other things, as part of the final design.
We have slightly moved on in terms of the specificity of condition one, so that it moves towards more in the nature of, in general accordance with the concept plan. So you will have locational certainty as to the location, you just won't necessarily have certainty as to the height. Were you aware of that development?
Not specifically, no.
Because what you've touched on is precisely a point that's been very much emphasised by the council experts, which is if you start in condition one with shall be in accordance with the information subject to detailed design and the outline plan, the outline plan becomes the fundamental driver of what is actually going to occur on the site. That's the consequence of the language. But that position seems to be retraced by KiwiRail to a position which is looking more like a condition that we would expect with a project of this type, albeit not with final design in terms of heights and so forth. So that's an iteration that has happened as we move along, I think. But it does leave us in the position, you're correct, that we aren't able to say with precision what the visual effects will be. I'm just uncertain whether the court in the case that you referred to recognising the need for flexibility and also not comfortable with kicking the can down the road to the management plans, how it reconciled or resolved that tension that I think inevitably exists with a designation in a way that we can apply as a matter of principle a position. Is there a principle that emerges other than these observations, or is it a factual assessment on a case-by-case basis?
I don't see any way that it can't be a factual assessment on a case-by-case basis, Commissioner. And I certainly think that's evident from the language that the court has used in the quote I've provided. And my recollection of what the court went on to do there was to find, at least in some respects, that the information in that case was wanting, that there wasn't sufficient. And so you might obtain some insight into the thought process that the court applied to that exercise in terms of evaluating the factual evidence that was before it to the extent that you can after the fact. I probably can't take that.
That case is the famous NOR requirement for wastewater treatment in Whakatane?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that case also had some interesting characteristics,
yes,
by all accounts. All right, but your observations around noise are taxing us, and they're well-made points, and we're exploring that and working that through because it is a footprint that we're trying to understand and get some clarity on. So I thank you for those, and it keeps reminding me to make sure that I get the best out of the experts in terms of that, because there are some aspects about the leave it to later approach that worry us, and so we're exploring that.
I'm grateful for those observations. I might just make a point. It probably relates back to your question around whether my submissions were advanced relative to other properties further along Maple Street. And I stand corrected if I misunderstand this, but I don't think anybody else is in quite the same position as Peter and Dale in terms of the degree to which the freight hub will displace them from their productive rural life. Mm. And so we have a different set of social effects at play because of that displacement that may not be in common with some of the other properties.
Yes, and we have heard from three submitters today, and each of them are going to lose their property if the NOR is approved,
yes,
and the land is acquired, and it's really distressing to think that those sorts of consequences can follow from a planning process, but and we don't really pretend to comprehend how distressful and difficult that is. So we don't claim to know it, but we try to empathise as much as we can and understand the stresses. So we're very grateful that you have presented to us, and we'll take these matters very seriously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, panel.
All right, we have one remaining submitter today, Te Aotearoa Environmental Centre. Jonathan Proctor. Kia ora. Welcome.
Kia ora koutou. Professor Jonathan Proctor. I'm a professor in natural hazards at Massey University, but more important, I'm Uepuku and connected to Rangatani, and I'll be here representing Rangatani on 102 submission. Apologies for not having the presentation printed off and supplied to you. Hopefully you'll be able to see what we're talking to. It's a very simple presentation, and should be very short. So, firstly, I'd like to highlight the fact that we have a Tangata Whenua group, an iwi group, settled iwi here presenting as a submitter. Should highlight the strength of the relationship between Kiwi Rail and the iwi in this region.
Thank you.
Just to remind you who we are, Rangatahi o Manawatū have occupied this area for over 1,000 years, unbroken occupation. We have a rohi which extends from the Manawatū River across to the Rangitiki and down to the coast. The activity is actually occurring smack bang in the middle of our rohi. And I'd like to remind everyone that we do have a settlement with the Crown. In 2016, we have a piece of legislation where the Crown recognises us as an iwi. There's certain, I suppose, clauses within that legislation that relate to the RMA and various other things which relate to the Crown agencies and relationship with Rangatahi as well. None of those have really been explored through this process or explored within the evidence from Kiwi Rail as well, which we think could be improved. Rangatahi o Manawatū, like most iwi across the country, have a large number of significant sites, cultural sites, historical sites throughout the Orohi. Throughout the tribunal process, through the negotiations process, we know where all those sites are, we know the detail of those sites. So we're quite familiar with significant sites across our area. And we have made those significant sites aware, we've made Kiwi Rail aware of those significant sites across our Orohi as well, through the first phases of their project. yet, the project has never explored any of those significant sites any further or provided any further analysis of impacts on those significant sites throughout the later phases of this proposal. Our submission was primarily focused around the Mungoni stream and the headwaters of the Taunui wetland. Of course, over the last 200 years of colonisation, those waterways and those wetlands have changed quite dramatically and been altered quite heavily. But yet there is still some significance to Rangatahi for that area, for that region, for the waterways that do exist and the ecology that does exist in that area. And for us, the basis of our submission focused on the relationship of those wetlands, those significant waterways, to the national policy on fresh water, and also the concepts of Te Manawatū Wai in that policy as well. Yet none of those concepts have ever been explored or discussed with Kiwi Rail or explored further by Kiwi Rail separately, which we think it needs to pay some attention to or at least think about in the future, and should be done in partnership with Rangatahi and iwi as well. The reason why I've gone for such a simplistic PowerPoint presentation is because there's not actually a lot for us to discuss or talk about in this area or this development. So to date, there's been no cultural impact assessment for us to discuss or talk about. There's no cultural evidence submitted. We didn't really see the need to submit cultural evidence either because there was no engagement plan. There was no engagement process either. And for us, there's been no analysis of the ROM settlement. And so there is not really a lot for us to talk about or present in this process except this whole, all these need addressing and fixing at some stage in the near future before this development proceeds. But I suppose I can provide a bit of a timeline. We started engaging with Kiwi Rail in late half of 2019. We attended some multi-criteria analysis workshops. That was around site selections. We provided a report around our preferred areas, preferred site selection as part of that process as well. And that's where we provided some basic information about Rangatahi o Manawatū, who we are, what our significant landscapes were, what our cultural areas of importance were, but also supplied them with our sites of significance in relation to where they wanted to put this rail hub. We pretty much never heard from them after the second multi-criteria analysis workshop in late 2019. I get that COVID happened. There was a pandemic, so there was a bit of a delay. That's understandable. And we really didn't hear again from Kiwi Rail until we were asked to provide a welcome for the ministerial announcement here in Palmerston North. After that, we never heard from them again. There was intermittent email communication, informal email communication with Kiwi Rail in the second half of 2020 through to early 2021. We provided a draft memorandum of partnership to Kiwi Rail, which would outline how we progress in an engagement plan and provide some of the information required around the cultural aspects of this development. we never really heard from them again in the later part of 2021. Just recently, we've discussed some of the consent, some of the conditions of consent conditions that they've presented as part of this process in the last couple of weeks. Our submission, you've all read our submission. We've tried through our submission to find links between legislation, some iwi concepts and motivation, and then recommend some relief or mitigation around some of the impacts on our key cultural values, I suppose, with the environment. A lot of this is around kaitiakitanga, rangatiratanga, where we are looking for specific protocols, specific consent conditions around archaeological sites, recognition of significant sites, but also around cultural monitoring of waterways, ecological monitoring of the area, and also involvement in the overall aesthetics and design of the site as well. This is all pretty standard in the RMA process nowadays. we're looking for some basic conditions around that, some of those issues that have not been forthcoming to date. We were presented with their conditions, which you see here, you'll be familiar with. In the last 2 weeks, we have provided an update to their conditions. Would you like me to read them out, or are you quite happy to have the presentation later? These are the additions that we added to their conditions. These are the additions to their draft conditions. And over the last 2 weeks, we have highlighted the need for a stronger engagement process, or recognition that the engagement process is going to be in partnership, meaningful and ongoing throughout the development operation of the site as well. Hence a lot of the changes in there. The biggest change that we are focusing on at the moment is this idea of approval of management plans. We would very much like to be not only involved in the implementation, or the development and implementation of the management plans, but also the approval of those management plans. We see that as fundamental due to the lack of engagement and the lack of analysis around the cultural space to date. So simply,